You're listening to me, Sarah Banham, with Writer's Block, and I have with me, it's the end of every month, I have with me Hannah from Pages, Plates and Places.
Hello. Pages, Places and Plates. Oh, your streak has gone.
So close. Yes, Pages, Places and Plates. Sorry. I almost had a hat trick, didn't I?
Yeah, almost. Oh, well, maybe next time.
Lost it now. So anyway, welcome back to Writer's Block. The three books that you've got this time, tell us about the authors and what they're called.
Yeah, sure. So three books this month. Interestingly, so usually, as you know, a lot of authors come to me with their books. So most of the books I have are kind of given to me by the author to review. I've only got one of those this month. Two ones are actually ones I just decided to review because they were amazing.
Oh.
So yeah, a little bit different. So the one that's been given to me by an author is Plus 10 by Antonina, who... listeners who have listened in before will recognise that's the third book I've done by Antonina now, because he does really good short stories. We've got two other books as well, both thrillers. So Don't Even Breathe by Keith Houghton and Here to Stay by Mark Edwards.
Gosh, I love these titles.
Yeah, they're quite interesting ones this month.
Let's start with Keith Houghton, first of all, Don't Even Breathe. Tell us about that and what it's about.
Okay, so this is a thriller, and this is one that I downloaded on Kindle, because I just got Kindle Unlimited, and I did what I think every book person does and goes crazy and just downloads everything. And this was one that I was really intrigued by the cover, because it has one of those really good thriller covers. And basically, it's a detective novel. It's the first in a series about Maggie Novak, who's a detective. Basically what happens is a body is discovered in the woods. It's ID'd as someone, but then Maggie goes to investigate and she's absolutely certain it's her childhood friend. However, it can't be her childhood friend because her childhood friend died.
So
Maggie is kind of intent on solving the case and proving that actually it is her friend and not the original person it's been ID'd as, but because it's got a personal slant to it, she ends up getting very wrapped into it, and it's very exciting.
Well, out of interest, you said about the cover that drew you in as
It's obviously called Don't Even Breathe. It's got those really big letters on the front in white, which I love in thriller books, and it's got just a load of tangle of vines with darkness behind it.
Oh, okay.
Which I like. It just really, when I was browsing through all the books, it just really stood out, and I thought, yeah, I need to read that one.
So would it be a spoiler to say how the person died?
What, the body?
Yeah.
They were just found in the woods.
That's the connection to the vines. Okay. So the cover actually did relate to the...
Yes, it does.
I often ask if you did the cover relate to the content, and in this case, absolutely.
It does, yeah.
Excellent. So apart from the cover and the title and the synopsis, presumably, you know, you were drawn to this book. There's a difference between being drawn to the book to read and being drawn to the book to review. So how did that work?
Well, I wasn't planning on reviewing this one. I kind of wanted to read it because I hadn't read any thrillers in a while, and thrillers are one of my favourite genres, but I'd done so much like women's fiction and really random eclectic stuff for the blog, and I thought, you know, I just want to read something for me and not review it, and obviously that went really well. So I started reading it. I then got no sleep that night because I literally couldn't put it down. I tried and then I couldn't get to sleep because I was thinking about it, so I just sat up the whole night and read it.
Bad author.
Yeah, I know, terrible. Lucky I was working from home the next day. And then I read it and I thought, oh, this is so good. And then I thought, actually, I really want to review it now. I've got to talk about it.
So actually, then you've got a male author with a female protagonist.
Yeah.
So how does that work? Because I write, obviously, as you do, probably.
Yeah.
Male and female main characters. How did it work for you?
It worked well, actually. I have read examples before where the gender difference has caused issues because there's maybe not enough understanding. But no, Keith wrote Maggie really well.
Excellent. Yeah. That's great to hear. So what's the best thing about it?
The pace, I'm going to say, because the reason I couldn't put it down, I mean, the chapters are short, which is good. They're short and snappy. Every single chapter ends in a cliffhanger. So that's why I just had to keep reading on. And I really like that in thrillers. If there's a comfortable place to put it down, then I think maybe it's not necessarily being as kind of exciting as
punchy
it needs to be. Yeah. And this is definitely the sort of one, like, I love crime thrillers, and they do need to be very fast paced. I thought that was really good, the way that was done.
Do you think then that Keith Houghton or Houghton's style of writing, then, when he gets to the end of each chapter, it's almost, sometimes you write it that way to make it like a mini story before you go on to the next bit.
Yeah,
is it like a, maybe that's
kind of actually, because there were some like very kind of separate bits in it that almost did, yeah, kind of worked like that. And another one that I've read by him, Crash, had a very similar sort of cliffhangers at the end, and that was another one where I just had to keep reading it to find out, because the suspense he builds up is just really good.
So that's another question then for you. How did he build up this suspense and this tension? How did he do it?
Well, I think it's because every time you think you know what's going on, something changes or something happens, or then you suddenly realise you've been looking at it completely wrong. And that's really clever. And I think that is, again, a key thing that you need in a crime thriller book. There has to be a lot of twists and turns in that sort of genre. But yeah, that really keeps the suspense up, and because you don't really know what's going on the whole time. So you're kind of like desperately trying to work it out in your head, and then when obviously it doesn't go, like there'll be a complete spanner thrown in the works, and then you think oh no, and then it just throws it all up in the air again. So
lots of red herrings.
Yes.
Yeah,
but even when you're expecting red herrings, they still take you by surprise.
That's true. That's actually a really good point. Okay, we're back with Writer's Block. You're listening to me, Sarah Bannum, and I have Hannah from Pages, Places and Plates.
Yay, you got it right.
You've always got to just make a... Oh, you've got to try harder these things. And when it's something that's a bit of a tongue twister, you try even harder.
Blame me, because I'm the one that branded myself
I think it's still a really good title because it conjures up everything that you do. So, yeah, great. So we're talking tonight about the books that Hannah has read throughout this month, and we're talking, the authors are Keith Horton, Mark Edwards and Anton Einar. We've just talked about Keith Horton's Don't Even Breathe.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about Mark Edwards' Here to Stay. Tell me about that one.
Okay, and this is one that I applied for on NetGalley, and it was, again, I thought, oh, I'll never get approved for this because I've got loads of books to review, but I'm going to apply for it anyway. And then I actually got approved for it, and then I ended up with a massive backlog of books, as always. But yeah, I was really excited about this one, and it was the premise that really got me for this. So Here to Stay is basically about a man called Elliot. He lives in a beautiful house that he's spent a long time building up and designing, and he's put his heart and soul into this house. And he's not getting on a bit, but he's thinking...
Be careful. I'm older than you.
He's thinking he wants to settle down, let's say. And he feels like he wants to maybe start a family in the house in the future, and he's having those sorts of thoughts. And then... there's an open garden thing that happens, and he has his garden open because he cares quite a lot about his garden. And then a woman called Gemma comes in to have a look around, and she asks to use his toilet, and then they get chatting, and then he ends up getting stung by a bee and having an allergic reaction, and she saves him. So that they kind of have a good relationship after that, and then he kind of thinks, oh, what the hell, I really like her, and they get married. So after they're married, Gemma suddenly realises that her family needs somewhere to stay temporarily, so they come and stay with Elliot and Gemma in the house, and with Gemma's sister Chloe as well, who's quite ill. And then what kind of starts off as, oh, this is nice, having the in-laws round, suddenly gets really, really bad, and it just takes a turn for the worse, because it turns out that Gemma's family are not the sort of people you want in your house at all. Mm-hmm. And it's all very sinister.
Sinister is a very good
it's
word,
very
actually.
Sinister. And I know I mentioned earlier that I do read a lot of thrillers, and I do, and it takes quite a lot to scare me, but this one genuinely left me feeling quite scared at the end, which I haven't experienced from a book in a long time.
Wow, this actually sounds like it'd make a great film too.
Yeah, do you know, it actually would. I really hope they do make it into a film, but they have to get those characters just right.
So what was the cover like?
So the cover is another bold thriller cover. So you've got the letters Here to Stay, really big white again, a skinnier font than the other one, not quite so chunky. And it's got an image of, it's kind of like, I'm looking at it now, trying to describe it. So it's kind of like the camera is panned towards the top of a house, and you've got like a darkening sky in the background. And then there's a woman just looking out of the window, and it's quite eerie.
Yeah. Right. I'd love to know where some of these people get their ideas from.
I know. There's some really good covers around at the moment.
Yeah,
and I definitely do judge a book by its cover, and so I'm completely drawn in by some of them.
I am too. We've said this before. For me, it's the cover, the title, the cover, the synopsis. Mm-hmm. And then if those three have brought me in, the first paragraph.
Yeah.
And then that will decide whether or not I buy it.
That's exactly what I thought with this one. I saw it and I just thought, well, I have to read that now.
Are you actually, this is not any of the questions I was going to ask you, but I'm just curious. Do you ever read the end of a story before?
No, never. I remember you saying you did that and I just think that is awful. I don't get it.
I do it a lot, but I do it with only fiction. Obviously, it doesn't work the same with non-fiction. But I do it because I like to know where I'm going.
That I think I get tempted to, but I have accidentally done that before. I've accidentally seen the end, and it's like really gutting. I hate it, finding out a spoiler. Like I absolutely hate, you know, those people that give spoilers out when there's like something.
No, that's not fun.
It's the word. It just really angers me. So if I did that to myself, I don't know. I don't think I could cope with it.
It did catch me out one year. I'll tell you about that another time.
Oh no!
It did catch me out. So I have learned my lesson. But I read a different ending. What I thought was the ending, but it wasn't. And then, that kind of surprised me and really saddened me because it was a different ending to what I was expecting. So, yeah. So, okay, back to Mark Edwards' Here to Stay thriller. What's the best and worst thing about it?
The best thing is the way that suspense is built up. Same with the Don't Even Breathe, actually very similar ways of building suspense. I'd say Here to Stay has a slower pace, but it works very well because Mark has this way of writing, like, so he'll write a very quite intense scene and then it's followed by a lull and then you're thinking, what's going to happen next? Just know that something really bad is going to happen. And you know, when you get that feeling in your stomach?
Yes.
I got that constantly. And there were points where I was thinking, I literally don't want to turn over the page because I know something really bad is going to happen, but I don't know what it is.
Wow.
But do I want to know what it is? Maybe I'll just stop. But
that's
then I thought,
skill.
Well, I have to. He's really good at that. So that was definitely my favourite thing.
Well, what was the least favourite then?
Oh,
probably the same thing.
Yeah, in a way, it was really quite horrifying. I don't know if there was is anything, to be honest, because it was just really good. I think it's one of the best books I've read this year, to be honest. So, I don't know if I can really fault it
and
that much.
And my goodness, have you read some books this
year? I have read some very good ones, so yeah.
Gosh. So which character would you most like to meet in real life in this book and why?
Something in me wants to meet the parents, but at the same time, even the thought of introducing two people like that into your life, and if you read it, you'll completely understand. And because when I saw it, I thought they can't, like, obviously they'll be bad, but they're not gonna completely gross me out, make me feel terrified bad, and they did. So the thought of having someone like that in my life is horrifying. So I wouldn't want to meet them, but I would, just out of curiosity.
That's a morbid curiosity.
Yeah, I have too much of that. And also another person I'd like to meet is the sister, Chloe. She really fascinated me. She's a very interesting character. I think I'd go, maybe Chloe's a safer option.
So actually, how many characters are there in this? It's, you've got the main character, his partner or his wife, her sister and the family.
There's quite a few characters because there's also neighbours, Elliot's best friend as well. So there are quite a few characters and some minor characters that dip in and out but have quite an important role.
Wow, okay. So if you could hear this story from another character's point of view, what would it be?
I think Gemma, the wife.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that would work, but it would be quite interesting to see it from her point of view, because she's right in the middle of it. But also, again, Chloe would be very interesting because so Chloe's ill when she first comes in, so you don't see her very much. She's kind of hidden away in her room, very ill. Parents are very funny about Elliot talking to her, so they kind of manipulate situations so that Elliot never has a chance to be alone with her. And that makes sense more as you read it. She's really fascinating.
Has her illness got anything to do with how odd the family are?
No.
Is it relevant for the story?
It is relevant for the story though, yeah. But it's not necessarily related to the parents. But it's very convenient. And it is quite interesting actually, because the parents are possibly the most manipulative characters I've ever read about, and they're very good at changing situations to suit them and to twist things and put them out of perspective.
That's a real psychological thriller,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, wow. Really good.
Oh, I hope this one gets made into a movie as well. Yeah. That would be great to go and see. Obviously, like, read the book as well. But, yeah, I'm quite a visual person, so I do need to see things like this. What was the pacing like?
Again, really good. So it had a very clear structure, which I really liked. And as a writer, that was quite useful, actually, because at that time, I was thinking about structure for something that I'm currently writing. So I was like analysing it a little bit at the same time. But yeah, very clear plot structure and lots of twists and turns. Again, you're expecting them to happen and then something completely different happens and you're like, what? And then it's just that combination of really, really intense scenes and then the lull in between that builds up very slowly. It's just done to perfection.
Quite freaky. Now, the last one we're talking about is from Anton Einar, and he's one that we've mentioned several times.
Yes, we have.
Show.
Yeah, yeah. He's become a little bit of a favourite on my blog.
A bit of a fan club now.
Yeah, yeah. So this one is the third one I've read by him. It's called Plus 10. It's a short story like the others. It's about, so a while ago we spoke about post-molecular comfort food, didn't we? And so it's about the same length as that. But this one has a very different topic. This one he actually thought I might quite like because I'm quite a big gamer, as you know. Mm-hmm. And it's, even though it's not about gaming, it's got that sort of vibe. So basically what it is the main character is a scientist in a laboratory, and he's been tasked with creating soldiers that are better than your average soldiers, but he's leveling them up on their I think it's their strength, their speed and intellect. So very similar to, it's a gaming concept basically. Yeah. Hence why it's called Plus 10, and so they can go to a maximum of 10 in each thing.
Okay.
But obviously you have to mix and match to get the perfect balance. So it's a really interesting concept. It's definitely an Anton Einar topic.
I hope you're listening, Anton. I really do. I love the way that we discuss your work and his fan club.
He does make me laugh. He's great, his ideas. It's basically following this scientist. He's trying to level them up, but he's also got the demands from the different, I'm not sure what the word is, you know, the different groups of military people.
Regiments, platoons.
That sort of
ranks.
Thing. There is a word, but it doesn't
but not
matter.
I'm just kidding.
No. Say word, though. He's got those different groups of people kind of fighting for specific things. And obviously, he's the scientist, he knows best, but he's got all these army men reckoning that they know better. So it's quite an interesting situation.
So there is a military feel to it?
Yeah. There's a lot of army stereotype humour, which I liked. Maybe people in the army might not appreciate that so much, but hopefully they would, which is quite good. Because you've obviously got the army... Let's go with regiment. That's quite a good word,
okay,
isn't it? Yeah, one of your words was good.
Thank you. Rally points.
Yeah. So the army regiment, who are kind of brandished as just brawn and no brains whatsoever. Okay. They're all for the strength. You've got the ones that are all for the speed, and then you've got the ones that are all for the intellect, and they get labelled as the wimps, I think, or the nerds or something like that, because they lack the strength and so on. So he's kind of trying to create this perfect soldier, but they all just want to get it to the max of the thing that they're interested in, which obviously we know doesn't work out.
Wow. And this is another short story, is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's about the same length as Post-Molecular Comfort Food. So that one was 42 pages, so it's around that, I think. Maybe a little bit longer.
So this is presumably his niche, isn't it? The short story.
Yeah. And I do believe he's writing some fiction that's full length at the moment as well. But he mainly does short stories. This one was quite interesting. It's another one, a nice little snapshot into the bizarre world of Anton Einar.
Which actually seems to tick a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
So do you feel the story could be extended into a series or maybe even a sequel?
I'm not sure with this one, actually. I think it worked perfectly as a short story because it's like a concept. I don't think it needs to be developed on anymore because I think he's
covered it all.
Yeah, he has.
Right. Was it an easy read?
Yeah, it was. Again, just sat down and read it all in one go, which I know I do that with novels, so that's not really saying anything.
Was this a cold bath situation again?
No, I don't think you'd have time for your bath to run cold because they are very short.